The Business Buzz Podcast.
The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mokshastra-Kabaza.
Good day and welcome to the Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on Vow FM. That's the voice of Wits, broadcasting live from our studios in Braamfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mudiwa Mokshastra-Kabaza and I'll be your host for today's show. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to unpack and keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. Now, for today, before we get into our main topic, some of the week's top news in the economy is that electricity shortages and that the precarious fiscal position are likely to be the biggest obstacles to South Africa's recovery from the current pandemic, the South African Reserve Bank said earlier in the week as it gave its monetary policy review. Despite the fact that the bank has been able to support the economy by lowering interest rates, the bank itself is actually just saying that load shedding, which reached its worst levels in 2020 despite collapse in activity under the lockdown, remained a binding constraint to the economy, as according to the governor, Lesecha Khanyago. And also on top of all that, they're just talking about the fact that factors outside of the bank's control are going to be the factors such as structural reforms that will likely be able to actually take the country out of the position that it is in. Just an interesting story that happened this week and something that we will be keeping an eye on. Now, in terms of this week's show, we are going to be looking at investing in the property market, because one of the things that has happened during COVID-19 is that some people haven't been able to hold on to their properties and the prices have come down. At the same time, people have been losing income. So it's what some people are calling a buyer's market, but we're going to be getting some explanations from our experts about what's actually going on in the market. First, I give you a macro view, and then also just looking at how to specifically get into the market and talking to people that can actually help you to invest in your own properties. So to help us to navigate the topic, we're going to be talking to Jabu Klaba, who is head of sales for Seif Properties, Johannesburg Central, and then we'll talk to Andile Fulane, who is the CEO of FutureFin, an investor, and they have a platform online that's actually helping people to invest in property. Also coming up for the next hour, we're going to be getting into the business wrap with Zanele Kunene, giving us the week's top trading business and economics news, and then we'll get into the Buffalo Index, where we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. Now, remember that you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. We are Vow FM, that's Voice of Wits, and then you can also find our other Facebook page, that is Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag BusinessBuzz. You can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za, and you can also find our great content on vitsjournalism.co.za/business. Otherwise, you can turn to some of the popular platforms for podcasting, such as iono.fm, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, to listen to our previous shows, and this show will be going up shortly after our broadcast. So that's how the show is looking like. Make sure you don't turn that dial. Up next, we get into the Business Wrap.
Business Wrap with Zanele Kunene.
It's time for us to get into the Business Wrap. That's the part of the week where we give you the week's top trending business and economics news. And to help us to unpack things, we are joined by our financial expert, Zanele Kunene from BDO Wealth Advisors, who is a financial planner. Zanele, greetings to you. What do you have for us this week?
This week is an exciting week. It is the Financial Planning Week, which is all aimed at raising awareness of the importance of financial planning, as well as the benefits of using a certified financial planner, which I am. Whoop, whoop. So there's going to be quite a lot of content or resources that's going to be coming out. And I know quite a few financial planning companies and firms are going to be offering like free consultations. So do keep a lookout for that. Use this time, go and use those free consultations and just to get an idea on how to do your financial planning a bit better. So this week I'll be sharing three tips with you guys. So let's get into it. Tip number one, delay gratification. Okay, so I'm from the generation whereby you have to, if you wanted a phone, if you wanted like a BlackBerry or a Christmas gift, you'd have to, you know, build up towards it. You know, in January, you must already be hinting to your parents about what it is that you want. And nowadays, you can get everything instantly. So it's quite a change, a drastic change from planning to get things to, you can get it immediately, and us being bombarded by sales every day doesn't also help the situation. So you're going to need to have to take a proactive approach in terms of delaying that gratification. So how do you do so? You take a step back, you can fill your cart with as many things as you want, but don't buy it. Don't buy the things that are in your cart. Give yourself 30 days to think about, do you really want those items? And are those items in line with what your goals are? You know, what are the goals that you have? What is it that you're saving for? What is your, you know, objective? What is it that you'd like to create for yourself? You know, by giving into gratification or instant gratification, you do limit your goals. You do limit what you can possibly achieve. So delayed, so that you're going to get the bigger prize. Tip number two, manage your emotions. You know, and when I say manage your emotions, I say manage them in a healthier and a more productive manner. You know, don't just put things behind you or try to, you know, ignore it or just like do what you've always done. You need to respond to your emotions by recognizing, how am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way? And how am I going to respond? Because if you don't take an insight, or if you don't look into how you are feeling and what's going on with you, you're going to fall back into your old spending patterns. And then you just go back to, you know, the whole entire cycle. So in terms of managing emotions, find out why you are feeling how you are feeling and how are you going to respond. And again, I say it, make sure that it is in line with your long-term goals, because you don't want to, you know, go left when you should be going the other direction. So just be very aware about managing your emotions. And here I find that you have to limit the amount of influences you have, even though it comes from good spaces. Because, for example, your mom might say, buy a car, or your friends might say, let's go out and celebrate this weekend, but you don't have the funds to do so. And you might feel bad for not being able to tell them this or communicate this, but communicate this with them so that you don't feel bad, so that you do create that kind of relationship where it is honest and open. So, you know, manage your emotions in that sense, and that will help you build a stronger relationship with your friends and family with regard to your finances. The third tip, which is my final one, is always have short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals. Because once you have outlined your short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals, it doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. Because what I find is a lot of people is like, oh, this is what's happening in the economy. Ooh. The economy, you have no control on what happens there. What you do have control on is what you are doing. So make sure that you set up your short-term, medium-term, and long-term plans, and that you are aware of what's happening, you know, in the economy, but that it does not determine what you do. All right? So this does go back to protecting your wealth in terms of having the insurance that you need to have in your items, and also building that emergency fund, okay? You need to build that emergency fund and limit your usage of debt, okay? Because debt does steal from your future. There is good debt and there is bad debt. Good debt helps you build your wealth, and or it will help you increase your income over time. So this is like your student loans or buying a house. bad debt is basically your consumer debt. You know, it's kind of like your clothing accounts and those kind of items. So you want to have good debt. You do not want to have bad debt. And my final, just to wrap everything up together quite nicely, is you need to have a broader view. And what I've noticed is a lot of us have a very narrow view when it comes to our finances. It's like, oh, I have to pay for this, and that's what we focus on. Oh, I have to do this, and that's what we focus on. Take a step back and look at the bigger picture as to where does this item fall into the bigger picture. And once you take that perspective, you'll be able to, you know, frame your decision making in a much better sense. So I hope these tips do help you. As I said, do check out the Financial Planning Week, all the resources that are out there.
No, thank you so much, Zanele, for, you know, for those tips and just alerting us to what's going on in, you know, Financial Planning Week. Just as a follow-up to everything that you gave, because I think this has been, you know, quite a trying time for everyone. And I think the, you know, the one question that people might have is to say, but Zanele, I feel like COVID-19, this pandemic, lockdowns, etc., has really taken away my ability to effectively plan. How would you go about maybe remedying that, or maybe a tip on a tip?
So there will always be financial setbacks. You know, if it's not COVID, it's job loss, it's, you know, there's always going to be a financial setback. And as I said, you always need to, you know, put yourself first. You have to make sure that you control what is in your hands, okay? So when I say that, I mean building your emergency savings. So people who built the emergency savings when COVID hit, they were able to at least, you know, patch here and there. They weren't, you know, distraught and, you know, it wasn't going too crazy for them. So it's quite important that you firstly, you know, build your emergency savings, put together your budget, know what's happening with your finances. And I think one thing that COVID-19 showed all of us was that if you don't know what's happening with your finances, when a setback as big as a pandemic comes through, you will be in big trouble. So in order to limit those kind of the impact that might have, is do the basics. Put together the budget, build your emergency savings, because that's what paying yourself first means. It means making sure that you are in a better position no matter what happens outside.
Thank you so much. That was us with our financial expert, Zanele Kunene, who is from BDO Wealth Advisors, giving us some insight into financial planning. We giving us some tips and just ending off talking about some of the contingencies, because something is bound to happen whether there's COVID or not, and people should just be able to either adapt or be prepared for some of those rainy days. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Zanele Kunene. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
As we're talking about the property market in our Buffalo Index for today, where we give you the state of your 100 Rand, we decided to go out and look for some of the top investment and property investment books on the market that might give people some insight into the market, because I think a big part of investing in property is educating yourself. Now, one of the good things about investing in books when it comes to the property market is that it's relatively affordable. You know, some of the things we talk about on the Buffalo Index, we're talking thousands of buffaloes, but you know, everything today is under four buffaloes, starting with a book by Brandon Turner. It's called The Book on Rental Property Investing: How to Create Wealth with Intelligent Buy and Hold Real Estate Investing. That's 2.3 buffaloes, or 230 rand. And one of the interesting things is that this book actually appears on a number of different lists about the best real estate investing books. And then another one is by Douglas Marshall, and this one is called Mastering the Art of Commercial Real Estate investing, how to successfully build wealth and grow passive income for your rental properties. That one is coming in for just under two buffaloes at 190 Rand. And then, you know, this book, it's an interesting one. I didn't expect that anyone would recommend it, but Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, just under two buffaloes at 190 Rand, is another book that's being recommended. I didn't expect this because it's not necessarily a book about investing. I've gone through it myself, but it's a very good book just around thinking about money, wealth, investing, that type of thing. And it does touch, you know, quite a bit around property. So so it looks like a lot of people are recommending this one as a book to get. Another good one is a book by Gary Keller. It's called The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. That's coming in for 3.3 buffaloes. That's 330 Rand, our most expensive choice on the list. And then lastly, we have Ken McElroy with The ABCs of Real Estate Investing. And very interesting about this one is that it seems the author is an advisor to Robert Kiyosaki and the whole Rich Dad empire, because they are affiliated in that way. And apparently, Robert Kiyosaki actually wrote the foreword for this book. This one might as well be two buffaloes. It's coming in at 165 Rand. So that's been it in terms of the Buffalo Index. On the other side of this, we get into the main topic.
The Business Buzz with Modiwa Mokshastis Gabaza.
In our main topic for today, we are talking about investing in the property market. You can let us know, join in the discussion on Facebook. We have our FM, that's Voice of Vits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So to begin the show off, we are joined by Jabu Klaba, who is an award-winning sales agent specializing in sectional title properties in Johannesburg Central, with 7 years experience in the industry. And he's actually working now as the head of sales at Seif Properties in Johannesburg Central, in Braamfontein. So Jabu, greetings to you.
Greetings to you and greetings to the listeners.
Now, thank you so much for joining us on today's show as we explore this important topic of investing in property. I think a good place for us to start, especially because we do have quite a large audience of young people in tertiary education and young professionals. In terms of your real estate career journey, well, how did that actually come about? What has been that progression?
Well, I think for me to begin with, my journey started sometime, I think 2007, when I had a friend who was a bookworm. So in one of his books, I came across a book by Robert Kiyosaki called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think a lot of people are familiar with that book. So it's a tiny little book that just tells a story about this young man who had two dads, actually. And it's a story that takes you through the journey of, exploration in terms of how certain people live their lives. So the other dad was sort of like a freelance dad who liked taking chances with life, didn't have any restrictions in terms of what he does in life. He was just an explorer, actually. So it was an eye opener for me, and it sort of took me towards the property industry because of I was also just somebody who was being keen on properties at large. So it put me on a platform of wanting to find out a little bit more. And so then my journey began when I started just wanting to do my own research. And from there, I found myself actually now in the industry after maybe about 2 years after that. And it's been almost 7 years in the industry now. And yeah, that's typically how my journey started. Yeah.
We said at the beginning of the discussion just before starting to talk to you that you are award-winning, and it sounds like, you know, that small book by Robert Kiyosaki led you to getting some awards. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Well, so I've been working mainly in the Johannesburg Central Market, which is specializing mainly in sectional titles. So after, like, you know, this game is an industry of time. So after having invested enough time in this industry, I started getting my my strategies right, and getting to know the market well is actually helped me to start reaping the full rewards of this industry. So over the last couple of years, I've been privileged enough to win a couple of awards for being a top sales agent in the region, actually. So yeah, and I think it's a trajectory that I can say that I've come a long way, and now I'm at the pinnacle of my career, and only good things are yet to come, actually.
That sounds like a very positive outlook on life and your career so far. And with that knowledge in hand and that experience that you've had in the industry so far and the strategies that you've been able to develop, would you say that this is a good time to be investing in the property market?
Well, that's an interesting question, actually, that I've heard people discuss that, and people are coming from different areas, but some are just looking at the numbers and assuming that because maybe sales are on the high, so then this is definitely a good time. I choose to maybe, I'm in both, I'm in yes and no basis, where I say that, yeah, for buyers, it's definitely a good time to purchase, because we are looking at, I think, lower prices, lower interest rates, which is definitely a good time. But my philosophy around property has always been long-term. So sometimes, because of this COVID push, you could find that it has definitely pushed for properties to go on the low, but does not guarantee you that this is the best time to buy and guaranteeing you the future. But if you have to look at numbers, definitely you are going to be spending less than you would have spent the last couple of years. So I would say maybe it is definitely a good time to purchase.
So if I'm a buyer, this is a good time to be, if I'm understanding you correctly, if I'm a buyer, then it's probably a good time to be in the market. But if I'm a seller, then I might not necessarily get the best deal for some of the best deals of value for the properties that I have on hand. So with that in mind, then, how would you say your outlook is, you know, how long are we going to likely be in this type of situation where buyers are sort of buyers sort of have more buying bargaining power? Yeah, if I could say something like that.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's going to last that long, because the other push is that people are selling now because they've been destabilized on their, like, rental incomes, and the banks wanting their payments. So few people are struggling, but the market is coming back in quite strong. I feel that this is not going to be long lived, because as soon as the market stabilizes, especially in various areas where people have also gone back to their jobs, once it stabilizes, some people are also now going to be holding on to their properties, and I think it's going to push the properties prices a little bit higher than it is now. So, yeah, I think it's not going to be long-lived.
And with all of that, all of those factors that you're talking about, for yourself or your company, how have things actually gone by in the last maybe half year or so during these hard months of lockdown that have terrorized so many businesses? How has business been on your end?
Yeah, business has been actually okay, it's starting to pick up. We did take a knock like anybody else, actually, especially during the high levels of lockdown. But what happened is that I think it also created pressure for the last couple of months, where we saw a lot of sales actually going through, and also continuing to. There's a lot of a positive activity, especially on the sales side for now. But as a business, we did take a very negative knock, where we lost on numbers. But I think with the low interest rates as well now, we're sort of now making up for the numbers. So we hope that we're going to be finishing this year on a high. So I think overall, we can say that it has actually been a very decent year for the market, for the property industry actually.
You know, talking to some professionals in your industry and just thinking about some of the trends that have happened due to COVID-19, such as working and learning from home, you sort of get the sense that people are also restructuring their idea of where to live. You know, a lot of people think about proximity to work and things like that. But now, if a lot of your professional class at least have that option or flexibility to be working from home or remotely more nowadays, do you see those type of factors influencing property sales in the areas that you have experience in? Because we've heard that in some parts of the country, we're seeing movement towards maybe the coast, people leaving the city saying, I want to go live somewhere else so that I, you know, get to enjoy the fresh open air. And then, you know, you then see maybe more properties being available in the city. Is that a trend that you are seeing as well?
Yeah, definitely. That is something we are seeing, even though, like, our specialty has been on the residential market, whereby, as compared to the commercial, I think commercial spaces have lost a bit of business just because people have actually gotten comfortable with the idea of working from home, and it is actually something very doable, actually. So in our market, per se, we are actually not that much affected because as long even as people staying at home and working from home, we are still okay because this is the market that we are here to serve. But definitely, I think there's going to be, I think we will definitely see the stats showing us the actual result of the effects of COVID in terms of people preferring to work from home in the long run. But as of now, definitely, yes, it has changed the structure of properties. People are starting to shift and be working more from home because it is doable. And I think that is a huge knock on the commercial side of properties.
And then the other one is just it's just a follow-on. I just thought about it now because earlier on you spoke about the fact that right now you have buyers and sellers, and buyers and sellers have been affected differently by the economy, and they have different places in the market. So maybe switching over to maybe the rental side of things, how do you see the dynamics between landlords and renters?
Well, you know, currently, in a market like CBD, Johannesburg CBD, where we are specializing in, with the recent activity of, I think, buyers having to let go of their properties because of the effects of COVID, I think what has happened is that We are seeing obviously a lot of new players on the market who are coming with different strategies to try and combat for this things like a pandemic happening ever. So I think going forward we are going to be having a much more like say pandemic proof kind of strategies where. Should we have any other maybe pandemics or economic negative factors, I think the property industry is definitely still going to thrive, and the relationships between the tenants and landlords per se, I think also will be right now it has actually been influenced now by the pandemics, but only to a place where I think they are going it's going to be tailor made in such a way that should anything go should we have something similar to this maybe in the long run, I think there will be a bit of stabilization in the future. So I think we are definitely looking at both parties being in a good space going forward, both the tenant and the landlord.
And I guess coupled with that, you know, I'm very interested as we end off in our discussion. You spoke about how a book in the form of Rich Dad Poor Dad had sort of set you off the journey investing in real estate, or at least being part of the market. And so I'm seeing a bit of a theme, because we also had a bit of a book list at the start of the show as well. So for you, what type of reading materials do you have, or would you recommend to someone who also wants to get into the market?
I'm reading a variety of books actually now, but the current book that I'm reading is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I have also been busy with James Allen. I don't know if you know some of these authors. So there's a couple of books that I've actually been reading, but my most previous is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I've also been reading a lady called Jane Sincero. She wrote a magnificent book which says You're a Badass. Excuse my language there. But yeah, there are a couple of books that are on the market, but my biggest book of influence right now is Think and Grow Rich, which is quite an inspiration even in the world of investment.
No, I agree with that one. I've also been through that one. Napoleon Hill is a brilliant writer on that end. And then lastly, the actual practical advice for people that want to get into the market, or that are hoping to get some good deals without being swindled or being taken advantage of. What's your advice for them?
Well, I think this is actually a very good time for people to actually get on board, because it allows you right now rentals have not really been affected that much, so at least you stand a chance to actually to make more as compared to the previous years. So I think this is a time where people can actually jump on board and still being given a bit of flexibility to play around with their numbers, because it is not as strict as before. So yeah, definitely I'd advise whoever is looking at getting on board to say this is the best time for you to come on board. There's a lot of young investors who have got some awesome ideas of this industry, this whole market, and I think there's more support now. I think from the whole investment structure to come on board and play a part, because definitely properties are the way to go. It's a long term investment which is guaranteed as compared to other income generating maybe effects that you can actually try out.
So that's been us with Jabu Klaba, who is the head of sales for Seef Properties in Johannesburg Central, giving us some insight into what the property market is looking like right now, telling us about the fact that Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad was the book that actually set him down his journey, ending up in a position where he's been able to actually win some awards as a top salesman in the region. And he's just talking about the fact that time is a very important factor when it comes to investing in property, because you gain experience, you start understanding how the markets work and coming up and developing strategies for winning in the market. Also, just talking about some of the dynamics between buyers and sellers, renters and landlords, and also just giving some advice about some of the things that people should be looking out for those that want to invest in property. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we continue with the show. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
COVID Biz Watch. COVID Biz Watch. On the Business Buzz.
In our COVID Business Watch, we talk about how COVID-19 has impacted various businesses in and around South Africa. And for today, our producer Ntando Klimba went out and spoke to Nelly Nkosi, who is the founder and owner of Infinite Hair and Skin Goodness, a cosmetic and personal care business that supplies hair and skin products. She was answering the question, given that you operate a in non-essential business? How did the lockdown restrictions affect your day-to-day operations? What were some advantages of the lockdown? What lessons have you learned from operating your business during the lockdown? Here's what she had to say.
I must say, lockdown worked to my advantage because people had more disposable income. They were not spending money on alcohol or entertainment. Therefore, they were able to buy from me. I noticed that my sales spiked during lockdown. I was selling more than ever. And as the levels went down, were decreasing from level 654321, I was making less and less sales to show that I made the most sales during the peak of lockdown. So lockdown worked in my advantage because everybody, absolutely everyone, had money to buy. And you might be asking yourself, how was I selling when we were staying at home? Well, when I leave the house every day to buy bread or essentials, I would carry my bag that has my products, the skincare and hair care products. And on my way from the shop, I'd pass by my neighbors to give them the stock. And then the next day, I'd collect money from them. And it was a risk that I took with the credit. However, a risk that it was worthwhile because every single customer paid. There was no one who said they didn't have money to pay. I would say some of the advantages of lockdown is that everybody got time to discover themselves and time to do the things that we've always been postponing. For my business, I had been postponing registering the business. I had been postponing registering a brand, printing stickers and printing pamphlets and having my own brand. All along, I was a distributor for somebody else. When lockdown hit, I decided to start buying in bulk and be a distributor for my own self and start being a stockist and have my own brand because I had learned how others do it. And so I have been postponing. The knowledge was there, but I was postponing. And now during lockdown, I had no choice but to focus on myself, on my goals, and stop postponing, start registering the business, start branding your business, start working on marketing it from a different angle and not the angle of those people I used to stock from. I really, really saw that most people did the same. Some people discovered their cooking talents and most people started cooking businesses and food businesses. And I really found that lockdown worked to our advantage when it comes to self-discovery. The lessons I learned from operating my business during lockdown was how to perfect my business, how to embrace the spirit of excellence in my business. Because every time we sell as a means to an end. But I said to myself, I am selling a service as well as products. Therefore, how do I perfect my service so that I have repeat customers, so that I have references, word-of-mouth references. So how did lockdown help me to do that? It gave me time to research and find out how do others do it. For example, how can I get my product to look neat and to be soft to the hand and to be a great experience to the customer without having industrial machinery? Then I learned that I could use baking tools to whip my shea butter and make sure that the customer will enjoy it as much as they enjoy the industrial products. And they should not be able to tell that I whipped the butter from home. The experience should just be seamless. So those are one of the lessons that I learned through operating my business during lockdown. I learned how to perfect the presentation of the product and how to work on the service most of all, because service will lead to repeat customers. And as different brands, we can sell the same product. However, what differentiates us is the service.
COVID Biz Watch. COVID Biz Watch. On the Business Buzz. Mob Justice. On the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. We are continuing our conversation just around investing in property. And right now we're going to actually talk about what it means to actually invest and how you can perhaps get into property investments, and to help us to, you know, give us some insights on that front and the type of service they're providing. We're joined by Andile Fulane, who is the CEO of FutureFin, a fintech startup that is doing some alternative property finance, and that is a platform. Andile, greetings to you.
Greetings, my brother. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us and sharing your expertise. I think a good place for us to start, we've been asking our experts on the show, is just your journey in terms of property invest, because you are a property investor. So in terms of your journey, how did you get started, and where are you at now?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of us obviously started with the excitement of reading The Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know, the classic book. everyone or any type of guy or person wants to get into property investing REITs. So we started like that. And I should say we were a bit ignorant of, you know, the dynamics in South Africa and a whole lot of other things that are not covered in the book. Because, I mean, you know, I always say that, you know, property investing is like running a business. There's quite a whole lot. They don't tell you on how to invest. I mean, how to market and find good tenants and how to screen and all those things. You know, those details are not covered extensively in the book. So we made a whole lot of mistakes. But we started around 2009. I was still employed there. So, you know, the property market actually taught me to be the entrepreneur that I am now. Yeah. So we've written all the waves in the economy, and here we are. We've done so well so far. I think as a portfolio manager for property investment, we've reached about 120% return on investment. So I think we had an opportunity to learn and correct some mistakes.
I like the fact that you started off by talking about how your journey actually started with Rich Dad Poor Dad, because interestingly, our previous guest also got into the property market through reading Rich Dad Poor Dad. So that really seems to be some type of a theme, that reading Rich Dad Poor Dad gets a lot of people onto that journey of property investing. So in terms of that, then, you know, where you are now, you said that you have experienced some success in the business. How have current trends, and especially COVID-19, affected your investments in that market?
Well, we were very fortunate that we had already liquidated some of our residential properties, and, you know, just before COVID-19 actually hit. Because we're actually looking at going into commercial. We are looking at getting into, like, blocks, you know, blocks of flats and so forth. So, you know, we were very fortunate. I should tell you that investing at some stage is about luck. We never foresaw this happening. But we liquidated, so now we're sitting with a pile of cash, and we're still looking for opportunities. There's plenty of opportunities, because this is a buyer's market. It's been a buyer's market for quite a long time. But yeah, we're talking to a few people. I run a podcast of property investing as well, so that also, you know, helps me to network with people in high places who are running REITs, you know, companies that are, you know, property funds that are listed on the JSE. And I'm learning quite a lot. So I'm taking my time. It's still a buyer's market. It's going to be a buyer's market for quite some time. You know, just to make calculated risks or assessments before we jump in. But by the time we jump in, I mean, we are in it for the long haul. But yeah, now the market is lucrative if you want to get in, if you know what you are doing.
You know, one of the things I appreciate the most about what you just said is, you know, in psychology, they talk about the fact that when it comes to success, people tend to have an egocentric view of their success. But you have just admitted that you guys were lucky that you were able to liquidate your positions before the market turned, and you would have been in that seller position, which is unenviable at the moment. So with that in mind, how are you maybe thinking, you know, between the two, between residential and commercial, because the property market has had different impacts on the two.
Yeah, so I mean, commercial, you should look at where you are actually investing. So if you're going commercial, you are definitely not going into the metros, because the metros have been hardly hit. I mean, you know, if you look at the new tenants in the commercial space, let's say like retail malls, you know, the doctors, for instance, are the ones that are actually occupying those, you know, those shops in the retail market, and they are discounting their rent. Rentals are actually discounted significantly because, you know, these malls need to keep afloat. Some of the big shops are actually being closed down. I mean, look at Edgar's, one of the biggest retail tenants, closing shop, which means, you know, the footprint in the mall, you're not even talking about the actual shop itself, the footprint that comes into the mall. So that impact is actually turning things around, upside down, and not only in South Africa, around the world. And this multiplied by the fact that the world is going online. So retail space has been badly affected for a number of years. And some people have been stubborn and they've lost a lot of money in the process. So when we go commercial, we're definitely looking at township. I'm a big advocate for, township property investing. I think there's huge opportunities there that no one is seeing. You know, just by inherently the property market or the economy in townships is very slow to adapt to certain changes. So the retail malls in townships are still going to do well for a very long time. We don't have the kind of network and towers that would make it lucrative for people to actually start shopping online. There's lesser trust, there's lesser technology penetration, mobile usage, people are still using your GSM, you know, so a whole lot of dynamics are actually making the malls in townships to be still lucrative. But you're not only looking at that, we're looking at a block of flats. There's a lot of incentives and support from the government in building residential properties in townships. So that's the space that we are looking.
And for others that are actually trying to also get into the market and perhaps replicate some of your success, or also get into a position where they are considering some of the properties that you are, you have a fintech startup called, I have to pronounce it, is it Maniac? That is an alternative property financing platform for low to middle income families that you guys have. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And did I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah. So we've changed. Our trading name is FutureFin now. But FutureFin, there's a company that we actually partnered with, which is called VillaVest. We're still in talks with them in terms of, you know, when people have backyard rooms. We are able to build backyard rooms and share the profits with the backyard room, you know, the land owner, for instance, you know, if you know the old RDPs in Bramfisher, huge yards. So Soweto is a very lucrative market, but those people are sitting there, they've got title deeds, but they are poor, you know. So in trying to combat that, you know, partnering with these guys to build, you know, backyard rooms and be able to, then we'll get the public, people want to invest, they invest with us, and we are able to share the profits with the land owner, you know. So that's one aspect of it. But what FutureFin is actually doing is bringing alternative financing. You know, generally, through the group, we've been, you know, part of financial literacy and financial education for quite a long time. So you know how discriminative the system is. Basically, if you're earning lower, although the government says they'll give you a subsidy to actually access affordable housing or social housing, it's impossible. You know, it's impossible. And I had an interview with the Department of Human Settlement talking about this dynamic, that there's money that's available for people to access social housing from the government, but you need to be approved by the bank. And for you to be approved by the bank as someone who earns about, like, say, 3,500 to about, let's say, 13,000 or so, they call them the missing middle. You're talking about 3 million people that have bad credit scores just naturally because they are low earning. And it's impossible for those people to actually improve their credit score because they don't have a lump sum, they don't have the social capital and ankle that can help them to pay off their debts and clean out their credit report. So these people are excluded from accessing the bond. They can't get an RDP, and they can't get the subsidy. So the alternative financing comes in the form of secured savings. So we help you to passively save, and after saving, then we give you a micro loan that you can then start building your own house. So the government has actually put land parcels aside. So instead of getting an RBP, you can actually get a land parcel for this missing middle. Land parcel, and then you build on your own. So those are the kind of partnerships and the gap that we are closing in the market with the platform.
As an investor yourself, and because you have created this platform and actually giving people access to some of some of this land, the property, and sharing profits, all of that, how are you thinking, or how do you see property as an investment class right now? I guess given how hard things are for ordinary South Africans right now, there are a number of things that someone who happens to actually have money and is thinking about where to actually put it. You know, how is property as an asset class? Is there something that someone can get into and get a quick return, or is this more for people that are looking to get in and maybe keep for a long time, more a long-term view?
No, definitely. Property, I mean, unless you are speculating and buying, you refurbish and sell, it's a very highly capital intensive, type of an asset class, especially when you're buying physical, because when you're talking REITs, you're talking properties that are listed, then you can contribute as little as 200 rand, buying REITs through a unit trust. But that's the model that we're actually trying to create as well, that people can actually contribute a small amount of money and then they get to own a unitized amount of the property. But to answer your question directly, this is a long-term game for everyone. You'll start seeing returns of 11-12% within about 3 to 5 years. Otherwise, in the short term, there's a lot of volatility that makes it, it's not good to actually pull out in the short term, So we are playing a long-term game, whether through the platform or through investing with the people in the backyard room business. It's a long-term game. That's how you need to perceive it. And you're entering low. So the market is low now. It's a buyer's market. It's a good market to actually enter. And then you'll be able to reap your rewards a bit later.
For those people that do want to get in right now, someone has never invested in a property, has never done this before, what's your advice in terms of getting in the entry? Because it sounds like someone could use a platform like yours to actually get into it. At the same time, you spoke about your own journey, starting off with a book like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. With the way that things are going now, what's a good starting point for a normal retail investor?
Educate yourself. I think that's the best. Invest in yourself. That's the best that you can actually do. It's worth more than anything else, because the mistakes are fatal. If you make a mistake, if you raise a bond, for instance, of 500K, and you're unable to pay it, and it messes up your name, and to recover from that is just, it's a big push. So educate yourself. We've got some courses with Finlight, my financial education business, for property for beginner property investing. It takes about 2 weeks, and you get an online course, and you can be able to take the course and get. We are partnered with some property investment mentors as well. Invest in that first, and it will cost you way less and benefit you, in the long term, So I would say people shouldn't start like me. They shouldn't reach get to it and think that they are ready to actually make such a commitment, unless they want to be passive and invest through a unit trust and some other form. But if you want to invest directly, that you are your own portfolio manager. You need to do the analysis and see if it's a good deal, develop a strategy, manage tenants, negotiate contracts. It's a whole lot of work, that you need to equip yourself for first.
I can imagine. And I guess, you know, continuing this theme of books, yes, we accept that reading Rich Dad Poor Dad is not going to, you know, make someone fully understand all that goes into the market. But are there any other books? Because it seems books seem to be, you know, quite a running theme on this show for today. Are there any books that you can recommend, either on just general investing or specifically property investing, that you'd recommend?
I'm quite technical, so the books that I read, I mean, there's Warren Buffett's books about investing generally. That's where I get my fundamental investing principles of invest long-term, invest in something that you understand, invest in something that you love, you know. So most of Warren Buffett's books are my key books to actually run into. There's been other authors in South Africa. I mean, guys can Google. There's been other authors that have written books, but I come from a world of investing. I've been an investment professional. They can read Buffett, or just follow Warren Buffett and watch his videos about investing in general. I also invest in equity, so property is part of my portfolio, and other guys are comfortable with Bitcoin. I'm not that comfortable yet, you know. So invest in something that you know that you love, that you know that, you know, you can ride the waves in the long term with. So that would be just my advice. But information is there, it's available, it's free.
Invest in something that you know, invest in something that you love, and educate yourself. That's the message coming from Andile Fulane, who is the CEO of FutureFin, giving us some insight into his own property investing journey and the platform that they have, FutureFin, that is actually helping people to actually get into the market and providing alternative financing, and also just helping to develop some of the areas. He says that he's passionate about investing in the township, and he was saying that they were lucky that before the lockdown actually hit, they were able to liquidate, and so at the moment they are actively looking for places to put their money. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Thank you so much to our amazing guests. Thank you to Andile and Jabu for sharing their insights with all of us just around property investing. I think it's quite evident that from our experts and their sentiments that property is probably a good investment class to be getting into right now. But I like what Andile was saying at the end there, just that this is a long-term game. This is not something that's just going to bear fruit in the short term. This is something that, you know, over time is actually going to help you to do things. So, you know, very good on that end. Also, just some insights into what the property market is looking like. Both Andile and Jabu are telling us the fact that this is a buyer's market. So if you do have money on hand, or if you come together with a group of people to invest in property, this might be a good time for you. And it seems that the one set of people that have been suffering quite a bit are sellers at the moment, which is why I guess people say it is a long-term game. You should be able to weather out some of these storms and perhaps hold on to your property until those property prices improve over time, and let the value of your investment grow. So that's been it. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Thank you, as I said, for everyone who's been engaging. We can continue the discussion on social media. On Facebook, we are VFM, that's Voice of Vids. Our other Facebook page is Vids Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're hashtag Business Buzz. And you can find us at VowFM. Remember that you can find us on iono.fm. All our podcasts are there, and all our other content is available on vids.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've come to the end of today's show. Thank you to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kutlwano Zidame, together with our executive producer Glory Mabuza. We've also got our producers, that's Lindile Musibi and Tando Kimba, together with Simbarashe Honde. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Don't turn that down. We've got some great content coming up on the Vow FM lineup. So, for myself, Mudiwa Mob Justice, and the rest of the team, it is take care.
The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mob Justice Kabaza.
The Business Buzz Podcast.